Amen. Okay, well, we got a lesson coming sooner or later. And you know what? You really had it easy, haven't you? Haven't had any assignments. So you get, every week you get 30% for doing your lesson. Oh, it's only 20? Okay. So hopefully you've been working on that lesson. Okay. Let's turn in our Bible to I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 20. We do have a handout, and I thought after last week's lesson, you know, I think it'd be good for us to take a little bit of time and talk about some of these practical things that we talked about. And one of the things we talked about last week that I thought we should park on a little bit. Many times I just assume everybody knows where I'm coming from or has these scriptural or principles. So last week, one of the keys and that I believe is found in raising a godly family is recognizing the day, the Lord's Day. And I recognize that today, really much of our world and much of Christianity has very much lost the sense of the Lord's Day. Really, we are fitting ourselves into the very principles that judged the nation of Israel in their attitude about the Sabbath day. Okay, and so I'm just going to spend some time talking to you why I believe that it is important to make the Lord's Day a special day in your house. And we're going to go to some Old Testament principles, first of all. We know that the Sabbath was the seventh day, that's Saturday. Okay, Sunday is the first day. There is a distinction, okay, and so we want to take. I believe though that there are some creation principles connected with a day of rest. There are some creation principles, and those principles are something that we need to think about. In our lives. Exodus chapter 20. This is, of course, the seventh day, the Sabbath. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. All right? And so it was the seventh day, and it was a day of rest. It was a day of rest for everyone in the house. And we asked ourselves, okay, well, this is a creation principle. Okay? Is there any legitimacy to that? First of all, why was there that day made? 6 days thou shalt work. Now, aren't you glad it didn't say, thou shalt work 7 days. Now, if God had determined that you would work for 7 days, that means, that's right, it would take 7 days to stay alive. It would take 7 days to provide for your family. That's how he made mankind and the earth to function. Okay, so there's a, on the other hand, there's a larger truth. Why was the seventh day so important for the people of God? Well, actually, there's more than one reason. One reason is because God made the Sabbath for them. Okay? Thanks. Oh, hey, could you do me a favor and get my original? Because this is only half of it here. Okay. Okay. So, the principle is you're a spiritual being. And what happens if you neglect spiritual things? Yes, you'll become a secularist. Okay? Isn't that okay? If you well, I don't know what I was saying. Okay, I start all over. Okay? The 6-day principle was established by God. Okay? We're not going to argue about the seventh day versus the first day. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the principle of creation. All right? Now, what is that principle saying? Number one, it's saying that you are a spiritual being. And as a spiritual being, how much do you need spiritual food for your life? That's the question. How much do you need? Okay. And what does a secular society think? You don't need it. Okay. Now, that's where Christianity is today. Christianity is secular in its thinking. Okay. We're talking about thinking now. Okay. We're not talking about specifics we're talking about thinking. Okay, so here's the question: do you look at yourself and do you say, I am a spiritual being and I need spiritual refreshment for my soul, and God has painted a picture of how of what I need? He has painted a picture that I need to, what should I say? That I need to put aside the secular, and that I need to devote myself to my spiritual being. Okay? Now, as Christians, we recognize that every day is a day in which we must feed our soul and must walk with God. And because the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And so for a real Christian, there's nothing secular. There's nothing secular. There isn't a time that we throw God out and say, now I'm going to live my own life. Everything is spiritual and everything is spiritually related. But we have a picture here of what God is painting, of what we need for our life. Okay? Now, put this in context of the apostasy of the today. When I went to Israel, on Friday, you couldn't get an Arab cab. Couldn't get an Arab cab, couldn't get an Arab bus, you couldn't go to an Arab shop because they were closed. On Saturday, you couldn't get a Jewish cab, and you couldn't get a go to a... now, of course, this was in Jerusalem, you know, the holy city, very religious. But You couldn't get a cab, couldn't get a Jewish bus driver. I mean, it was Saturday. But what do you think about Christians? No problem. What do you think the rest of the world thinks about Christians? They've missed the point. They just don't get it. And, of course, the creation model is very, very important here. It is found in creation. Okay? So here's a picture of man's need for spiritual food. It's the Lord's Day. We call it the Lord's Day because Christ rose on that day. But there's a picture of this seventh day or this one day a week that man needs spiritual refreshment. Okay? Now, does man need spiritual, does man need physical rest? Yeah? Now, World War II, they tried to have the production lines going 7 days a week. What'd they find out? They produced less in 7 days by going every day, every week, month after month. Their production actually went down. Versus having a day off. And same is true about animals. What did they find out about animals? Horses. No rest? What happens? Fatigue. They get easily injured. It's over. There is a model in history itself that proves to us the principle that man, that the Sabbath, as Jesus said, was made for man. Yes. Actually started in the 50s and 60s, really started moving. But there's some rare areas in America that still have most everything closed. Of course, there were used to be the laws in which all taverns were closed on Sunday. You know, you couldn't have a tavern open. And, you know, it used to be a day in which that National Football League played on what day of the week? Saturday. Now, obviously, we're in a continual decay, okay? And of course, the real problem is not the lost people of the world. The real problem is God's people. You know, if you would count Southern Baptists who claim to be about, 60 million in America, and you would add to that all the other evangelical groups, I would imagine you probably claim, you, and of course not all Southern Baptists are saved, but if you just include that, I'm sure you'd have maybe 70, 80 million people that claim some type of allegiance to evangelicalism. What if they didn't go to the mall on Sunday? They wouldn't be open. They wouldn't be open. You know what? You have to be able to make money. There has to be a motive for people to do these things. Okay? And we'll get there. Notice the Isaiah 58. Notice the problem in Israel. And of course, God is revealing to them, is revealing to us, their lifestyle that that he had to judge. It says, notice 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Now there's a great contrast there. Call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, or speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Okay, notice what it says. If you'll make the day, you'll call, you'll turn from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Okay? That's what the world is all about. Sunday, we'll just transfer the principle. Sunday, in the world's thinking, is a day of what? Pleasure. It's a day of pleasure. Now, notice the context. It was revealing to Israel and reminding us, it's in the Bible forever, it's reminding us that the day of apostasy in which God's judgment was on the people of God was that in their heart, the Sabbath was for their own pleasure. The pursuit of their own pleasures. And what was the contrast? He said, you know, if instead you would make the Sabbath day a delight. You know, the secular mindset, here's the secular mindset. Okay? The secular mindset is, I got all these things that I want to do. Okay? And think about this. 1 hour. God's got 1 hour. And if it doesn't work into my schedule, let's have church on Saturday, you know. And so then I can really do whatever I want on the Lord's Day. And what is the whole principle? It is seeking after thine own pleasures. And instead, it says that the Lord's day is a delight, a holy day. It's set apart for the Lord. It's a delightful day. And it's a day to honor him. Of course, that's the word about testimony. But you know, there's a great principle here is, you know, the Lord said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, and I understand the day in which we live, but you know, what is all of this about? Okay, well, let's put it this way. When people are demanding that church be only so long, what are they really saying? That they're really saying is, I got other things to do. I got other things to do. And it isn't going to home to read my Bible. Mike? Well, I think it's both ways. Obviously, if people are going to a dead church, there's nothing to get. Okay, and if they're thinking about the Lord, well then they ought to go find one that they can get something out of. Yes. Yeah.
Because they wouldn't do that either. No. But they would go and get an animal out that was maybe drowning or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, they just went on the physical and really not the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know what? That to emphasize the physical and not the spiritual, well, that's missing the point. Okay? Missing the point. Okay, so just kind of putting it into the mindset of today. The mindset of today is that, you know, God, you got, if, you know, people like the mega churches, you know why? Because they can be there or not be there and nobody's ever going to notice. No accountability. But they also like it because it's a 1 hour service and then they can do whatever they want. Now, in history, you know, when that, it wasn't like that in America. In the 1880s, when we had the big immigration from Eastern Europe, and I'm not trying to, I'm just stating facts, and you had this huge influx of Lutherans and Catholics. If you want to check this out, go look at Milwaukee Journal in 1958. It'll tell you exactly what I'm telling you. That when the influx of Germans and Eastern European Catholics came to this area, now Sunday became a day you went to church for 1 hour and the rest of the day was for you to do your pleasure. And before that, it was Protestant America, and the Lord's Day was the Lord's Day. And been a huge, and the big issue is thinking. Okay? The big issue is thinking. And we're battling a secular mindset today. Okay? Now, why does this come in this class? You know why? We're talking about raising a godly seed. We're not talking about raising kids that are so-called Christians and then they're going to grow up and live worldly and be a part of the apostasy. If we're going to have godly children, they're going to, mom and dad are going to have to think differently. And you got to get rid of the secular heathen mindset that we have been immersed in by being in a materialistic society. Okay? And if they don't get that thinking, guess what? All the activity will be merely outward motions, won't they? Okay? Of course, we got to get this in our own heart first. You know, if this is legalism, then you've missed the point. If this is legalism, then you miss the point. Because this is a work that the Spirit of God must do in somebody's life. And that's where thinking comes from. Thinking comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, and I realize that we have to realize whether we like it or not, the history of America is unique. And yes, many of them had reformed theology, and they took the Lord's Day maybe more literally than a lot of Christians do today. But there's a very important model from creation. There's a very huge warning from the picture of the days of apostasy in Isaiah, which pictures how people think in the days of decline of spiritual secularism, and we'd be foolish to relegate that and say, "Oh, we're dispensationalists." Oh, forget that. In fact, I'm a dispensationalist, but I think dispensationalist that isn't a catch-all. There's still some loopholes that aren't filled. Okay? Now, the second half of the okay, I also thought about saying this. You know, I've read about times of spiritual revival. And you know what they say about times of spiritual revival? Time means nothing. Time means nothing. In revival, people would be in church till 3 o'clock in the morning. Time meant nothing. Because there was a hunger and thirst for the things of God. But in America, time rules, many times, time rules out God. Time rules out God. Okay, we're going to, this is the second half that you don't have. Let's go to New Testament principles. 1 Corinthians 16, obviously, tells us that we're to bring our offering in on the first day of the week. And of course, it's there for a reason. And you can't be a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know one Seventh-day Adventist that goes to church on Saturday or Seventh-day Baptist. They go to church on Saturday and then they come back to obey the Bible and give their offering on Sunday. There's not a one that I know of. Maybe there is. But they don't. That's an obvious contradiction. Yes. You do that?
One Sunday, I asked him about this passage, and he said that's because the offering was just a secular thing, which isn't true either. It's a holy thing, but it's just secular, and so that's why they did it that way on the Sunday. So I asked them if they did it that way.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's it. He said he met a Seventh-day Adventist, and they said the offering was just a secular thing. So, you know, it just goes to show you that it doesn't matter if it's in black and white. Someone can find some reason to avoid it, you know. Because, you know, that's the way life is. Okay? Acts chapter 20. Notice this. It says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Now this tells us this is the normal, when the disciples came together to break bread. And Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. Obviously there wasn't a time limit on the service. Okay? And of course, we know the rest of the story. It lasted even longer than that. Why would it last longer than that? You know, why? Because they went there, they went to hear the Apostle Paul. That's why. They wanted to hear the truth of God's Word. And they didn't get to hear Him often. The picture. They did not have God relegated to a one-hour time slot. Yes. The Bible tells us that he was on the Sabbath day. What did he do? He went to the synagogues, and there what did he do? He preached and he taught, and certainly, yeah. So, certainly he was taking advantage of both situations, you know. Yes,
that actually shows that the churches weren't meeting on the Sabbath because Paul would have skipped church to go preach in the synagogue. I mean, I go preach in the synagogue if they let me go, you know, on Saturday. I do. But
we know he would.
Seventh-day Adventists say, well, look, Paul is in the synagogue on Saturday. That shows that he was a Sabbatarian, but that would mean that he'd be skipping church every week, which
right.
Actually undermines it.
Very good point. Did you hear that? That Paul preached on the synagogue on the Sabbath, Saturday, was illustration of the fact that he didn't, how did you say that?
That the churches weren't meeting
on Saturday because, He wouldn't skip church to go to the synagogue, because on the first day of the week, that's when they assembled. And he would be with the believers on the first day of the week. But he took advantage of Saturday, didn't skip church to go to the synagogue. He used Saturday as an opportunity. Okay? Then let's go to Revelation chapter 1.
One thing with Acts 20, some people say, well, they were gathering, the breaking bread was just a meal, so it wasn't a church service. But they wouldn't say they came together to eat a meal if the Apostle Paul was there. They would say they came together to eat, hear Paul preach or something. So obviously it was Lord's Supper. That would be the purpose of the gathering together.
Right. And 1 Corinthians 11, it says, you do not come together to eat the Lord's Supper. Okay? So it wasn't, they didn't come to for a meal. They came together to worship the Lord. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I recognize that there's those who would interpret this passage as the Lord's day. They would say, well, that is that he was in the Spirit and transporting him into the millennium in a vision. Okay. Well, that doesn't really fit with Revelation 2 and 3, and doesn't fit with that part of the book of Revelation. It is the day that belongs to the Lord in a special way. It belongs to the Lord in a special day because that is the day that he raised from the dead. And that's why the church met on the first day of the week. Now, there's an inference in Psalm 118. In verse 22. In verse, it says, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. That's referring to Christ. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this, of course, is speaking of the resurrection, because Peter said, this Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Okay, and then it says, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. What day was it? First day of the week. The day of the resurrection. And so I feel that this is a day that in a special way belongs to the Lord. In the legal parameters of the Old Testament Sabbath do not go to the Lord's Day. But certainly the principles that are found in the Word of God ought to be applied to the Lord's Day. And it does make a difference. And so, you know, and personally, I believe what Jesus said to the Jews, when he was healing on the Sabbath, he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, and you're seeing, you know, the whole picture of all the Old Testament religious ceremonies being fulfilled in Christ. Okay. There was a picture there, and that was, I believe, that was inferred when Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. There's an inference there, and that inference is found in Psalm 118, and of course practiced in the New Testament. Now, I wanted to share what I thought would be some practical application of this important truth. Yes?
Pastor, I realize here that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It's the inception here of here, the first day of the week. But mostly it applies to every day, doesn't it?
That verse?
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't.
It refers to the resurrection day. This day that the stone that was rejected was made head of the corner. It's talking about the resurrection. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And we will be glad and rejoice in it. It's talking to the day of the resurrection. And that day in which the builder was rejected, was made the head, was the day of resurrection.
Take a lot of verses out of context.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, praise the Lord. Every day is the day the Lord has given us. But that is specifically referring to the day of resurrection. Okay? Yes?
Have you thought much about whether you could say that the seventh-day Sabbath pertains to the old creation and the first day to the new creation, and how that might relate to what we should do?
Yes, I think that the Old Testament Sabbath is the mark of the first creation. And that the first day of the week is the mark of the new creation in Christ. And there's a parallel there. And it's part of that old world versus the new world, the spiritual kingdom. And in that case, so much more so ought the Lord's day be a special day. I want to take some practical points here for those of you that take these truths and have sensed that this is truth that's important. How do you make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day? And something that each of us need to kind of rehearse and reapply and reorganize. Number one, it should be the focus of the week. It should be the focus of the week. Everything should be gearing up towards the Lord's Day. When we're living right, the Lord's Day is the focus of the week. It's the focus of our efforts. Our focusing on the Lord's Day. Our efforts are... all week we're seeking to minister to souls and to work in the behalf of souls coming to Christ. Of course, so our week ought to be focused on, hey, the Lord's Day. Who am I bringing to church? Who's going to be there? And of course, that many times is the culmination of the reality of what something spiritually is really happening in somebody's life if they have a desire to be in the Lord's house. It should be a day in which we're looking forward to serving the Lord. This is a day where we're a day of service for the Lord. And the Lord's Day is a day of service. And we're doing something for God. We're focusing on that. Okay? It isn't, I'm going to church and, oh, I got to do junior church. Oh, man, I got to go in the nursery. I got to be there. You know, I got to be there at 9 o'clock. You know, they're having choir. Oh. It's a day of service. And all week long we should be praying and making sure that we're right with God so that the Lord's Day can be what it ought to be. Okay? And, you know, 1 Corinthians 3, and obviously 1 Timothy 3:15, it tells us that the church, the assembly of the believers, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't believe that. But you know what? The Holy Spirit dwells here in a special way when God's people gather together. If that is true, and it is true, you know what? Have you ever noticed that when you hear God's word in the Lord's house, that sometimes that, and I realize that shouldn't be this way specifically, but it should be that there's a, we really sense the influence of the Spirit of God on our life. We're in God's house. We're in the presence of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we should see things differently. And those sins that capture us, we should be able to see them in a much different light when we're in the Lord's house. Because we should, it should be the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. We ought to look forward to that. Okay? So we need to make it the focus of the week. And when we're really functioning, the Lord's Day is the focus of the week. And you know what? But if we aren't witnessing and we aren't discipling anybody and we aren't really trying to see God do something in somebody's life, what's the Lord's Day? It's not much because our week is focused on ourselves. Yes. Well, maybe that's who his God is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably the words of an unsaved person. Yes.
If he doesn't, if he's the church is full of hypocrites, well, he should go too. He could be one more.
Okay. Let's go on. Number three. Number two. Practical application. Avoid making it a day of self-seeking. Don't make it a day of pleasure. We had a little discussion and we had a little discussion about Thanksgiving and Christmas and I said, well, what is Thanksgiving about? Is Thanksgiving a day of playing games or is Thanksgiving Thanksgiving? You know, what is Christmas? You know, we have all these ideas of what Christmas is, but what is Christmas supposed to be? You know, and really, that's what the Lord's Day is all about, too. It should be about the Lord. Amen? You know what? Everyone is a sinner, and kids are sinners, and they aren't perfect. And there's a lot of development needs to take place, and we aren't so spiritual either a lot of times. But you know, children need to be helped to make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. I hope that when they grow up, when they leave their house, that they will make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. Don't make it a day of pleasure. That is the sign of apostasy. And you know what? That's what the mega church is all about. Go to church 1 hour, and the rest of the day is for whatever you want to do. And that's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is, of course, the first day.
Yes. Now, someone told me, I was talking about this, and they were saying this group of missionaries in Europe, they don't have Sunday night services. Because, you know, in the culture of Europe, they don't go to church on Sunday night. Now, wait a minute. What is a missionary all about? Blend into the culture? Or teach the people what's right? You know, is it really my part of American culture to go to church on Sunday night? No way. But missionaries and are a part of the same problem we have in America, and the problem is preachers. You know what? It's a lot easier only to preach one time a week. Just one time. You know? And everybody can have their nice time together. But you know what? Boy, missing the real thing. Missing the real thing. Obviously, the Lord said it was also a day of mercy. It's a day of serving. And the Lord's Day should be a day of serving. Because serving is spiritual refreshment. I always get more out of the meat preaching than you do. Because lots of reasons. And anybody who teaches the Bible, and you know what? It's always great to have to be right with God. If you aren't serving, it's easy for you to come to church and not have to be right with God. But it's a little bit harder to come to church and not be right with God if you're teaching a class. Because if you're trying to teach a class and you're not right with God, I mean, it's going to be a flop. And, of course, we have the play tomorrow night. And one of the things that we have to impress upon the young people is, hey, you know what? You're serving God. And there's people out there whose souls are on the line as they watch this play. That's the focus. Okay? So it needs to be a day of serving. Number four, we need to think about a testimony. There in Isaiah, he said it was a day of honor, honoring the Lord. Honoring the Lord. Now, you know what? The world has some very interesting things to say about us. And it is true. Your neighbors watch you, right? They already know you aren't home Sunday morning and you aren't home Sunday night. And they already know you aren't home Wednesday night. They already know that. Okay? And when you do that, They watch you real closely, you know. If your kids are naughty, you know, and break their windows, what do they say? Yeah, those holy rollers, Bible bangers, go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they can't even take care of their own kids. Right? But you know what? Also, they'll say, you know, it's interesting, something must be going on over there. Because, they used to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But, you know, now I've been noticing they don't. They notice the difference, don't they? And I wonder what they think, the neighbors think, when everybody goes to church and Dad stays home. Well, they see the lights on, right? They make their conclusions, don't they? Hey, they say, you know what? There's something going on over there. The Lord's Day is a day of testimony. I'm amazed that, you know, Arabs, they have no problem, Muslims have no problem of wanting to be a testimony for whatever. But Christians have a real hard time understanding the idea of being a testimony for the Lord. This is a day of testimony. And you know what? I hope that when you get old and you come and you can't hear the sermon because you're so old, I hope that that you still come to church. Why should you want to come to church? Because that's what the Bible says. Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. Secondly, it's the place in which the Holy Spirit is. And number three, it's a testimony. It's a testimony. We want to be a testimony. Okay? When do you start the Lord's Day? You start at Saturday night. Okay? I remember this years ago in the beginning of the church, there's this young person, and he came into church, he was like, oh man, you could tell he just woke up, and there was big bags under his eyes, he was just dragging in, and I said, what's the problem, Marty? Man, he says, man, I was watching TV till 2 o'clock in the morning. Guess what? Do you think any got anything out of church that day? Huh? A nap. He got a nap. Yeah, probably so. When do you start? You start Saturday night. Okay? You prepare. You prepare little kids. You prepare their life. That's like on Wednesday night, How do you prepare for church for Wednesday night? Well, how do you do it? Well, if they need a nap, you get them a nap real quick. Right after school. So they come to church and not sleeping. It's preparation time. And you prepare, you start Saturday night, that's when you start preparing for the Lord's Day. You know what? I don't really like, just forgive me, but, you aren't going to get me to come to many parties on Saturday night. And Saturday night is not the night to go on the town. That's worldly thinking. Isn't that what the world does on Saturday night? Yeah, it's the weekend. No, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. We get ready for the Lord's Day so that when we come to the Lord's house, we're doing our best. Okay? And there's a big difference when I see these couples getting all dialed up and they're going out in the world on Saturday night. I just be honest with you, what I'm thinking? I'm thinking they're still living like they're unsaved. They're still living like they're unsaved because Saturday night is the night out. Well, you know what? We're God's people. We don't think that way. Sunday morning. Now, I heard somebody that on Sunday morning, Dad gets up early and he makes pancakes every Sunday morning. I think that's kind of neat. Now, I don't do that because I'm always try to be at church by 8 o'clock in the morning Sunday. So there's no, I don't get to do that. But you know what? Make Sunday morning special. Make it special. I remember the first time I was in the house of a Christian family on Sunday morning, I was unsaved. And they were excited about going to church. They had VCY on. They're excited about going to church. And I thought, wow, I've never experienced this before. Sunday morning was special. Get the kids up early enough they can have their devotions. It's hard to come to church without having devotions ahead of time. Wow. Well, you can expect the church, the pastor to give you devotions. How can you get the most out of your message? The message is, if you haven't had your devotions ahead of time, not right with God. And I guess we got to close. Sunday afternoon, avoid the malls and worldly places. Try to avoid parties, things that take away the spiritual strengthening that you need. Make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. Now, I didn't even talk about going out there and fixing this or fixing that. Sometimes there's emergencies. But get yourself out of the secular mindset. Make the Lord's Day what it needs to be, and you will be benefited spiritually, but your family, you'll be contributing to a godly heritage. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time in your word, and pray that you'd help us as a people to grasp these truths. And Lord, I pray right now, as our heads are bowed, that many of God's people would decide to make the Lord's Day a special day in their lives. And while our heads are bowed and God is speaking to your heart, would just lift up your hand and say, you know, God's speaking to me about making the Lord's Day a special day. Anyone here? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord bless your work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.